This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Pleasure to have you with us. You're listening to the William Hill Golf Podcast with Dave Kellner and Mike Grenham. Getting set to look at the Tashwane Open and the Honda Classic, which is an absolute cracker this week. Pleasure to have you with us here on the podcast. And Mike, congratulations first of all to Jason Day, who won the WGC Accenture Match Player Championship last week. Exciting final.
Good final. Victor Dubuisson, son of V-Dub, as we all like to call him now.
I think you started that trend.
It's getting
I didn't see anyone calling him V-Dub. And then maybe 6 weeks ago on the podcast, you christened him V-Dub. And now it's all I see on Twitter. V-Dub this, V-Dub that. And because his Twitter handle is V-Dubush. After what happened late on in that match player championship.
Yeah, that's quite funny. His name's something to do with the bush, isn't it? Although I don't know whether that's true or not. But he's some player. He's a great... young 23, is he, Dave, I think?
Yep.
We've both liked him for some time, and very unlucky not to get a WGC. Well, I don't know if it wasn't very unlucky not to get a WGC win, but certainly went very close at such a young age. Lots of potential. He's really on the upward curve, isn't he?
And Paul McGinley said he was 99% certain to get that Ryder Cup place at the end of the season now, and it does look that way because
he'll qualify anyway.
Yeah, he'll qualify. But he's miles clear on the European points list at the moment, given his win in Turkey and all the points he accrued this week.
And he's going to continue getting points the way he's playing. He'll have no problem getting it at all.
No.
Hope he doesn't not get Luke Sluton out of the point.
He'll be in as well, don't worry. When you were tweeting, I was thinking, yeah, but this isn't good for you.
No,
it's fine.
There's some big boys going to drop out this time.
Yeah.
If they don't get their act together. Can't pick them all.
No, it's a fair point.
So there's going to be a few that may have to up their game.
Jason Day, as I said on last week's podcast, the course tailor-made for him. He was the guy I didn't want to win. But looking back at last year's price, when you compare it to this year's price, he wasn't a tough one to leave out at 20-1.
No, I tipped him last year, Dave, at 66s, if you remember. He did get in the final four, so happily he got placed. But, you know, not far off the same odds to be placed last year as to win this. So at 22, and good luck to those who backed him. You'd have to have a good bet on him at that, if you were, and not bet other people, I think, to make much profit would be my view on it. So, well done, and he's a cracking player, and just needs to start winning a few stroke play tournaments, doesn't he? That's good for him to win a big event, but has he only won the one stroke play in America?
That's it.
So that's really surprising, really, isn't it?
Yeah, he has contended, or he's been on the verge of contending for numerous major championships, hasn't he? That's the one thing in his profile.
If you were on Twitter, though, Dave, most people on Twitter, if he was English or British, they'd call him a bottler, wouldn't they?
Maybe so.
Because he hasn't won many events. I don't think he's a bottler, by the way.
I really like him.
He's a great putter under pressure. It's just a matter of time until he starts winning. He'll win majors, won't he, in my opinion. Yep. I've thought of that for some time, and he certainly didn't do his reputation any harm this weekend.
He didn't. Let's have a look at this week's events then. We've got the Tashwane Open, which is thankfully the last of the South African events on the European Tour this season.
It should be called the Shame Open. It's a shame it's the final South African event.
Precisely. George Kotsay is the 6-1 favourite for the event. Romain Wattel and Thomas Akin both 14-1. Danny Willett, Darren Fickart, Jaco van Ziel, and Rafa Cabrera-Bello, all 20s, and it's 25s bar. South Africans have won 5 of the 7 events held in South Africa this season that are either co-sanctioned or European Tour events.
Have there only been 7?
Just the seven.
27.
This tournament was played for the first time last year, and the host venue is once again the Copperleaf Golf and Country Estate, which is Ernie Els's golf course, and it's an absolute monster. They've lengthened it from last year. It measured just under 7,800 yards last year. It measures just under 8,000 yards this year. I know it is played at altitude, but it's still extreme in terms of distance. And the four par fives are all over 600 yards. You look at this. Dawie van der Walt, by the way, is the defending champion. You look at the names that populated the top of last season's leaderboard. Danny Willett was up there. Morten Oren Madsen, Peter Uihlein, Bjorn Åkesson, all absolutely monstrous hitters from the tee. I think Lens has got to be a factor here this week, Mike.
Yeah, you'd say so, Dave. I've gone for someone who hasn't got, isn't massively long, but I can understand that point of view. The length of the course is high. The altitude does obviously play a part. I suppose one thing that's slightly on my mind is if the par fives are 600 yards, then maybe too long even for the long hitters, so maybe that kind of advantage disappears slightly where everyone's laying up and playing.
Yeah,
you know, so
that's a fair point.
I've gone for someone who's just a good player and is a decent price but doesn't hit it a million miles.
Okay, I've just got the one pick as well, Mike, lead off.
Well, for the final South African event this year, and there are some great events in South Africa, but there's just too many of them.
When you're thinking about the European Tour, you're getting quality events almost week in, week out on the PGA Tour, and this isn't a quality event.
No, there's been too many of them, isn't there? I think I understand why this co-sanction with the Sunshine Tour, and it does fill gaps and what have you, but they're not at the quality that we would like. A couple of the events are, like the Volvo tournament is really Golf of Champions, one is good,
yeah,
but a couple of them are a bit low grade, so we'll see anyway. But they're always good courses, to be fair, and good scenery usually. They're a nice watch.
They are.
But I'm going for a guy who I like a lot. Gregory Bodie is my pick here. It's just a price play, Dave. He's not played the course before, but he's come back from injury with a couple of top 20s in events over in that part of the world there in South Africa. I'm expecting him to be inspired by V-Dub, his compatriot's performance.
Possibly, yeah.
In America. I think we've referenced before that there's some good French players coming through. The aforementioned V-Dub, Bodie, Jacques Alain still playing pretty well.
I couldn't believe Julian that there'd never been a French winner on the PGA Tour. That surprised me. I know there's probably not many that have attempted to ply their trade on the PGA Tour.
Would they? No. So that wouldn't surprise me massively, because Van der Velde never won there, obviously, did he? So,
no, Jean-François Remessy.
Yeah.
Raphael Jacques Alain.
No.
V-Dub's in a different league.
The winners in the future,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, V-Dub's in a different league to those players,
yeah,
isn't
he? And Bodie's a cracking player as well, Dave. He's no back number, let me tell you. So, he's my pick. Not a massive rationale other than that he's just a really good player and he's available at 33-1. I was surprised to see that chalked up in this field, to be quite honest. He doesn't hit it as far as some of the beasts on tour here, but he's a very good greens and regulation man, and he'll if he gets his putting head on, he'll go all right this week.
Gregory Bodie, 33-1 staking.
I'll let me think about that. I'll come back to that. Point each way.
Yeah, I'm going to point each way on my
pick
here.
No quarter points here anymore.
No. Danny Willett's my pick at 20-1. I think that's fair for Danny Willett. It's not particularly original, but I think Willett's a good bet on this golf course. he likes to give it a crack off the tee, very long off the tee, usually averages around about 300 yards, and he'll need every inch of that at this venue, in my opinion. He's got good form in much stronger fields than this recently, which I think augurs well when you're talking about a low-grade South African event. He finished tied 19th in the Abu Dhabi, and his last couple of starts were tied 13th in the Dubai Desert Classic and then tied 16th in Joburg. Fifth here on debut, closing with a 66. Played solidly last season at this venue. I expect a big performance this week from Danny Willett, who will have outside pretensions on a Ryder Cup place. I don't think he'll make it, but he'll have pretensions, won't he?
He'd need to get going, wouldn't he?
He would. 20-1, though, I think. Decent price in this field for Danny Willett.
Okay, Dave, yeah. A couple of others to mention. Fishart, Dan Fishart was second here last year and has been in good form.
Yeah.
His price affects that, obviously, though. My old favourite, Henny Otto, is worth a mention. He was top 10 here last year and ninth last time out. So it's all surprised to see Henny have a good run, give you a good run for your money. Morten Oren Madsen, who I think you've already mentioned, was top 10 as well here last year. They were all kind of on my mind. So
Julian Kane, mildly interesting as well.
He's another very good French player. So, yes, he was. He was on the list, although he missed the cut here last year, didn't he? So that put me off him, to be quite honest, and why Bodie would be more of an interest. I do... I don't go overboard on the influence of a French player winning for France. I'm not quite as keen on that as some people are, but it doesn't do any harm, does it? It kind of just reminds them that if he can do it, I can. You know, that's where I kind of come from on it.
Yeah, as far as Mark had said, our compiler is concerned, he doesn't like the event very much. He's going with...
So what he described it as, actually.
Yeah, if forced, he's going with Jaco van Zyl, who is in the betting at 20-1, but give me Danny Willett over Jaco van Zyl at the same price every single day of the week, as far as I'm concerned.
You wouldn't be at all surprised to see Van Zyl getting the 10.
I wouldn't be surprised to see your man Cabrera Bayo go strong. You think about the quality of him compared to a lot of other players at around his price in this field.
What price is he doing? He's 20s,
yeah.
If he'd have been just slightly, maybe I might live to regret that, because this isn't a great field and he has shown a bit this season, a couple of top five finishes that missed the cut last time out, though. Which,
yeah, that was the concern
at
with 20s, me.
At 20s, I just thought, and then
just, just whether or not he's gone off the boil slightly.
Slightly, I can afford to let him win at 20s, I think.
Let's get stuck into the main event this
week.
The feature event, the Honda Classic on the PGA Tour. Joint favourites, Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods, both 8-1. Adam Scott is 18s. Charles Schwartzel, Graham McDowell and Sergio Garcia are all 20s. 25-1, Justin Rose, Phil Mickelson and Zach Johnson. And it's a 28-1 bar. Superb event, Mike, sandwiched in between the two WGC tournaments. And it's attracted a stellar field. I'll always remember McIlroy's win here in 2012 when Tiger was charging ahead of him, posted that 62, and McIlroy maintained his composure to win that event. Unfortunately, last year he had toothache, didn't he? Rory McIlroy,
yes, did.
Didn't manage to see it through.
No, he didn't. No, that wasn't a very a proud event in his career, was it?
He's made mention of that, hasn't he? I think the comments in the press went overboard, didn't they, last year? He's still a young guy. He made a mistake.
Who hasn't made a mistake?
The golf course, Mike, is an absolute cracker, and it tests every department of a player's game.
It really does.
As with most Jack Nicklaus golf courses, the test does tend to get harder the closer you get to the green, but this is one of those venues. It's almost an exception to the Nicklaus rule. It's tight off the tee as well.
Yeah.
You've got to find the fairways here.
Yeah.
It's a real grind on this golf course, and you've got the infamous bear trap, 15, 16 and 17, which test out the weary late on. But brilliant event, PGA National.
Really
great
good
golf
event.
Course.
Tough. Yeah, definitely. You know, par's a decent score type course. Really like this event. There's some... it's a good field, Dave, as you've rightly said. And it does test different skill sets, doesn't it? I mean, for me, I was looking at ball strikers, that kind of mix of being decent off the tee and second shot, greens in regulation, that mixed stat. Scrambling's reasonably important.
Yeah, I think you've got to scramble well here.
And you've got to putt as well, so you've got to do everything.
It is the perfect setup
for a championship like this. It's fascinating. So, look forward to it.
I've got three picks this week, Mike.
Two, so I'll let you go first.
Pretty keen on this man. 1.5 points each way, Keegan Bradley.
Oh, we're matched on our nap.
Are we indeed? Well, that worked out well with Webb Simpson.
A couple of weeks ago.
Let's hope we've got a bit more success this time.
I couldn't have had a lot less.
No, precisely. He'll be looking to make an impact this week. I think the key thing with Keegan Bradley is he'll enjoy the switch from West Coast to Florida.
Yes.
He performs really well in these... Florida events.
Yeah, he's from East Coast in Vermont, isn't he? I think at the top there, but certainly likes Florida. Yeah,
he missed his cut on his first start here in 2012, but then finished 12th in 2011, but then went on and finished 12th in 2012 and fourth last year. He did finish fourth last year when knocked out in the first round of the match play as well, same as this year.
Right.
Jonas Blix beat him 2-1. Actually, you made mention of that.
I did.
Have gone for Bradley last week, but that was a tough opening round.
I thought it was
match.
A tough opening round. I highlighted that as being my shock of the first round. So, there you go.
He does everything well, Keegan Bradley, doesn't he? The tougher the
test. I thought you might have mentioned, by the way, that I had two players in the quarterfinals, including the 8-1 Hoopstays, and then neither of them made it to the last four.
No, it was
just
it was annoying, wasn't
both
it?
Both finished fifth.
I fancied Hoopstays, and he was playing some. Played some cracking golf, didn't he?
He played great, day, but his back went, didn't it?
I think it
didn't help. Yes, he had a bad back. He was in a lot of trouble before the round with Day. So, That was a little bit. It was unlucky. If you back Louis Hughes, Tyson, you know he's got a, potentially got a bad back.
Yeah.
Didn't you see that he was?
I didn't see that.
I think they were thinking he might not even play at one point.
That's interesting with the Masters coming up, isn't it? Because he loves the Masters.
Yeah.
You'd hope he'd be set for that.
Yeah, if he's fit and healthy, he was playing brilliant. He absolutely destroyed Simpson, for example. So I don't know where. Yeah, just one of those things he was struggling against. He didn't use it as an excuse, but when you're a punter, you can use anything as an excuse.
He might not, you can.
We'll cling to any excuse.
Yeah. Back to Bradley, and he ranked second in total driving last year. He's fourth in total
losing
driving
to Blix
this season.
Blix is a real good player.
And you know what? It can be a positive, can't it? Being knocked out of the match play early because you don't have that grueling 5 days.
Dave, I haven't picked Graham McDowell on that based on that. I just thought he had quite a grueling tournament and I've left him out on that basis and the price also.
Yeah.
But
He's short of 20 to 1, isn't he?
But just what you say exactly.
And not only does Bradley drive the ball well, he scrambles well. He's sixth in scrambling this year.
Mm.
The tougher the test, the better he is, Keegan Bradley. This is one of the strongest tests all year. It was the toughest par 70 on the PGA Tour last year. I think 28 to 1 is good, so I'm going 1.5 points each way.
Yeah, there's not a lot more I can add, Dave. He's just been in really solid form all season. One missed cut at Phoenix, but other than that, top 20s all over the place. So he's due to contend, I'm convinced, this week. And good form on the course, so yeah. In total agreement, really.
Good stuff. We won't have matched on either of my next two, I don't think. A couple of bigger prices here.
And it is
an event where you do get the shock, don't you? Michael Thompson won last year. Camila Vijegas won here in 2010. Wai Yang a winner in 2009. Sabatini won in 2011. So big prices there. My final two picks are at big prices. And the first up, I'll go with Peter Hansen.
You're right there, Dave. I'm not picking him.
Always get this reaction when I pick Peter Hansen. 100 to 1, Peter Hansen. This is a massive price, Mike. This is a massive price. He beat Dustin Johnson in the opener at the Accenture. Dustin Johnson played woefully, though, so I wouldn't read too much into that. And then he got knocked out by Victor Dubuis on 3-1. He's too big. He's got a superb short game, Peter Hansen. Fifth in scrambling on the European Tour last season. Always puts well. 13th here on debut last year. He's got 13 wins, Peter Hansen. And he's going to try and make an impact on the PGA Tour. Became a member last year, but with his problems with injury, it didn't quite work out for him. He plays well in Florida as well, Peter Hansen. He was tied 8th at the Cadillac last year. I think 100 to 1. I think he's a quality player, Mike. I think 100 to 1 is too big.
No, you're right, Dave. He's been playing pretty well on his injury at the back end of last year.
Yeah, he did. I think he struggled all last year with injury. Yes. That's why he didn't quite make the impact on the PGA Tour. Yeah. I expected him to. I think he's a. He's a solid ball striker, and he's a good scrambler, and he's a fantastic putter.
Yeah, I think he's a decent player. We have a bit of banter about him always, don't we? But I respect his chance, absolutely.
I definitely like him more than you do, but I think 100 to 1's fair, so I'll have a point each way.
Okay. I thought you might pick this guy, Billy Horschel.
Yeah, I was very tempted with Horschel.
Yeah.
50 to 1?
Yeah, that's all right, I think. Yeah, better than Hampton at hundreds.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Free lunch bet? I'm getting 50 points.
Oh,
you can have a little think about that.
Yeah, I'll have a think of it.
Just to make you feel a bit better about it, he's got absolutely moderate course form.
He has.
In the last 2 years, missed cut on a 46th place. But as we so often say, he's a much better player these days. And I expect Horschel to play well here. He's a Floridian himself. I just don't know why he hasn't played better here before, in truth, because he does tick a lot of the old boxes.
He sometimes throws one in, doesn't he? You know, he'll sometimes throw in a real horror.
Yes, yes.
Billy Horschel. Maybe that's why, because this course, if you do spray it around even a little bit, it's very penal, isn't it?
Yes, but I hear what you're saying, but his ball striking in the last 2 years, he's been in the top 20 on tour. Greens in regulation, the top 30 on tour. Putting top 30 on tour the last 2 years. His one weakness possibly is his scrambling, so that's maybe where you're right. If he gets in trouble, will he be able to get out of it? You could argue that, but at 50-1, I think that's a decent kind of price. He's been really solid again this year, six in high Hyundai, then top 25s in three of his other four tournaments. As you said about Bradley, he's back on the East Coast, back in Florida, so I expect Billy Horschel to go well, and I thought 50s was a decent price for him, I have to say. He's a coming force in the game. And a really pure ball striker, which I think will go very well this week.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned, I'm glad you've gone for Horschel, in fact, because it means that I can crowbar the fact that he only just lost out to Day last week when he could have easily won that match against...
Well, exactly.
Then he'd have been holding the trophy, wouldn't he? That's how it works.
Potentially, yeah.
That's how it works.
And you backed him, of course. Of course. So you're a week early.
A week early, yeah.
But to be fair, I thought you might pick him because he did seem to be playing very well today.
Yeah, he did
and
play well.
Losing to Day in an immensely tight game is no disgrace.
50-1, Billy Horschel. My third pick, Mike, I'm going with Brian Harman at 100-1 as well here, a point each way. Very impressed with him in the Northern Trust a couple of weeks ago at Riviera. To say he was in the final group, a guy that's not really contended much on the PGA Tour yet, I thought he handled himself extremely well. Swing didn't capitulate at all. I think he's got a fantastic swing, by the way. I think he's a great swinger of the golf club. He's seventh in strokes gained putting this season, and he finished 12th here in 2012. We have had upsets here. His game's improving all the time. He's had two top tens as well as that third at Riviera. Kept his card with a tied third at the Wyndham at the back end of last season. Full of confidence at the moment. He's taking advantage of the situation, Brian Harman, and at 100-1, I thought he was a sporting pick, a point each way on Brian Harman, who I rate quite highly.
Okay, fair enough. What about the big boys, Rory and Tiger? What do you think of them?
I'd rather be on McIlroy than Tiger Woods at the same price.
Would you?
Who would you rather be on?
I don't know. They could both go very well this year. This week, Dave. I mean, Tiger was second here the year before last. But just hasn't convinced this year so far, has he, this calendar year? You're probably right.
Erratic, hasn't he? Whereas McIlroy's just posting top 10 after top 10 after top 10.
Now, to answer your question properly, no, I would fancy McIlroy at the same price of the two of them. In fact, I did consider McIlroy. I've tipped him a couple of times this year, so he'll probably win this week when I'm not on him, but that's the way it goes. Rory's... Should have beaten Harris English in truth, and then God knows where we'd have gone with that bet. But
yeah,
we shall see. But yeah, I'd like
that was high quality that match. English those were two. He looks incredible
English
at the moment, doesn't he?
Playing
English
very well.
Yeah,
player to take out of that tournament, I thought.
Yeah, definitely. What about Adam Scott, 18-1?
Lengthy break, but he'll be prime knowing him, and he's got. He's got the game for this sort of place. This is kind of exactly what he likes. So I would say he will have supporters at 18-1, is he?
18-1.
And Tiger's what, sorry, Dave?
8-1.
I'd fancy him more than Tiger at that price, to be fair. Although Rory of the first three in the market would be my pick out of those.
Any others you want to mention? Well, Justin Rose and Phil Mickelson now at 25s?
Phil Mickelson can win any time, can't he? And when he gets to a decent price, you should always have him in mind.
I'd
you know?
Be annoyed if he popped up this week.
Well, Dave. He's not that far away, is he, from playing well? He had a bit of a back problem, didn't he, as well? So he's had a couple of few weeks off. Was it back?
He had back issue.
Graham McDowell was very close. I backed him last week and I thought he played ever so well. Showed real spirit, and obviously there's three top tens on the trot here, so just the kind of course he likes, but just the price and that grueling week have just put me off, as stated. So a couple of very big outsiders that I will be watching in running. Nick Watney, who doesn't tend to play here, but again he's a player who can be a very decent ball striker, and he's a winner. He's out with the dead men there at 80s. If he gets his game back together, which he hasn't been outstanding yet this year, but he hasn't been awful either. Top 30 is near enough in two of his last three events, albeit one of them was the match play, so that didn't really count. I think he's got a lot of ability, Watney, so I'm watching him. It might not be this week, but I'll keep my eye on him under the radar, as they say. Russell Henley, He's a massive price. Played quite well here last year. He's gone completely off the boil, but
he's a player we've raved about on numerous podcasts.
Yeah, we have. But he needs to play much better.
He does.
But if he's going to play better, this is the kind of place that it could bring him back to form. What about you? Any that you fancy?
Yeah, I liked this guy would probably be the man I don't want to win this week. Luke Guthrie, mm-hmm. Who I tipped at the Northern Trust, where he was battling away for a top 10, but derailed late on. So that 40th at the Northern Trust, better than the finishing result signifies, I think.
And
third here last year, but he's 80-1 this week. He was 125s when I tipped him 2 weeks ago. So maybe a lot of people latching onto our compiler, especially latching onto that third place finish, and maybe just a little bit short, 80-1.
Maybe. What does Mark Adzed fancy in this, by the way?
He's going with the two he's kept. Graham McDowell, which is evident by the pricing, 20-1,
and
Will McKenzie, who's 66-1.
McKenzie has good form here, hasn't he? Yeah, absolutely, I can see that. Do you know who could play well here? I'll be watching him anyway, just to see whether we could see some spark of a recovery. Lee Westwood, he loves this course.
Mm.
And
he's 50-1.
Yeah. He probably deserves to be given the way he's been playing, but he's showing some signs. He was 20th the week before the match play, and three top tens out of four outings here.
Is he one of the guys when you referenced earlier, not all the old guard are going to make it to the Ryder Cup? Is he one of those that needs to pull his socks up a little bit?
Absolutely. He was the one I had in mind, in truth.
Yeah.
And there's a few of them have got to be lifting their game, because if these guys like Luton and De Buisson and a couple of others play well in the majors and the WGC events, they'll knock them out of the world rankings. And I think it's top five in the world rankings, you know?
Yeah.
A couple of them are all right. Rory's clearly going to be fine. But there's some room for manoeuvre this year, Dave. There really is, you know, with guys really beginning to challenge in big American events where all the points and money are. Gets interesting.
It does indeed. Let's...
Westwood, does he play in the Ryder Cup now or not?
You've got to say yes, haven't you?
I think he'll be a pick.
I think he'll be a pick if he doesn't. I think he'll be a pick, definitely. I think McGinley will not consider going to a Ryder Cup without
Depends
Lee
who
Westwood.
He's got a pick from Dave, doesn't it?
It does.
Has he got three picks?
He's got three picks. They go 5, 4, and 3, don't they? So the 12 players there.
There could be a few players in that pick bucket this year.
Yeah, they could. They could indeed. Looks like it's going to be a strong
team. No way to go, isn't it?
And
clearly, some of these guys are building on very strong foundations in the past. So if they have a few good tournaments, they fly back up the rankings. So, but it's fascinating.
We'll get a clearer picture in 3 or 4 months' time, won't we?
We're probably better previewing this event than the Ryder Cup in September at this particular moment.
Maybe so. Who's the player you don't want to win this week?
Oh, God. GMAC, I suppose. It'd annoy me if Rory won as well, if I'm being honest. Yeah. He's only 8-1.
Mine's Guthrie, I think. Luke Guthrie is the man I don't want to win at 80-1. Let's recap the picks then. And have you finalised your staking plan?
I'm going to go a point each way, Gregory Bode at 33-1 in the Tshwane Open, or whatever it is. And in the Honda Classic, much easier to say. Keegan Bradley, I'm going to go 2 points win a point place.
Yep.
And Billy Horschel, point and a half each way.
Okay, big bets then.
I've only had two, though, haven't I?
Yeah, you have. I'm going a point each way, Danny Willett, 20-1 in the Tshwane Open. And in the Honda Classic, 1.5 points each way, Keegan Bradley at 28-1. A point each way, Peter Hansen at 100-1. And a point each way, Brian Harman at 100-1 as well. And you know what? I'll take that free lunch bet with you as well.
I like it. I'm having that. I'm having that.
Peter Hansen
versus...
Well, Hansen versus Horschel. Peter Hansen versus Billy Horschel. I thought I was going to be two lunches up last week.
You probably did. Because you had Woodland against GMAC, didn't you?
Three up with three to play. Come here, two lunches.
Never in doubt, I thought.
Never in doubt. We did it three times, didn't it, GMAC, in the end? It was an incredible week.
He played well, though, Dave. His scores were low.
Yeah, he did
People
play well.
People were going on about it like he'd fluked up. Well, he was about... I think he was the lowest score going into the quarterfinals or on par.
Could have been.
See, it wasn't luck.
No.
And
yeah, it was incredible, wasn't it, seeing their stroke player scores, because Ernie Els was caught adrift, wasn't he? He was four over going into those last dates. It is.
It's a great tournament. I was just saying to you earlier, though, maybe not this year, but it's one of those tournaments that's more exciting on the first 2 days than the last two, isn't it? Because there's a lot more going on. That said, V-Dub's finish with a... How were you moaning on Twitter about V-Dub, Kellner?
I was wondering whether this was going to go... It was lucky. That's why I was moaning. Everyone's saying lucky. It's the two greatest up and downs in succession ever. He was lucky, that first one. He went in there, courage to hit the ball. He knew he had to get club face on it. He goes in there with a wide open club face to loft it straight up in the air. He duffed it 2 feet in front of him.
Beautifully crafted.
It hit the dirt, popped up and went to 5 feet within the pin. And everyone's saying, what a fantastic up and down. He duffed it.
Beautifully crafted.
I could get lucky like that in the cactus.
The more you practice, Dave.
I'd rather be lucky than good.
He's both. He's a crafty player.
Unbelievable. Fantastic. So
follow
fantastic
Dave talent. On Twitter, at D. Kellner, for moaning about great shots and at M. Grenham for excuses or something.
Hopefully Keegan Bradley goes well for us both this week.
Because we need that, Dave, don't we? We need a winner, actually, Dave.
We do.
We've had we didn't get any places last week, so we need a winner.
At D. Kellner and at M. Grenham on Twitter. Do check out Golf Twitter Tipster as well. www.golftwittertipster.co.uk and at Golf Twit Tipster if you're looking on Twitter. And we'll be back next week. Thank you for listening to the Golf Podcast. And we'll speak soon. Goodbye.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.